My name is Margaret Chubley, she, they. I am currently an American Council of Learned Society's Leading Edge Fellow, working as an archive distribution specialist at the Educational Video Center in New York City. This is a social justice-focused nonprofit that teaches high schoolers how to make documentaries, often from marginalized communities. Additionally, I am also the webmaster and contributing editor for Arthuriana. Over the course of my career, I've held key roles in museums, universities, and cultural institutions, including editor, digital learning manager, instructor, archivist, and curator.
Hi, I'm Brittany Clater, and I am currently involved in a couple different projects. I'm the assistant outreach coordinator for the So What, web editor for Pete Smoke Literary Journal, and a freelance editor as well. I just moved to Denmark, so if you're a Danish or European company looking to hire someone in editing or communications, check out my LinkedIn page.
And I'm Ariel McKee, she, her, and I currently serve as a visiting assistant professor at Wake Forest. My primary research investigates the effects of fairy cause chaos in Middle English romance, focusing on the potentially revolutionary potential of fairy messes. I'm also outreach coordinator and contributing editor for Arthuriana and the So What. And most importantly, I am imminently tolerated by a cat, which I felt spoke to my character.
I think we're all in our own ways tolerated by various cats.
It's the goal.
So how about we jump into what the So What is, Ariel?
Yeah. So the foundation of this project is the constant struggle with the question of why, as academics or medievalists or artists or teachers, et cetera, why our work and our interests matter. So to explore that incredibly difficult So What question, this peer-reviewed open access project, titled The So What, tackles the many ways the Middle Ages continue to haunt our now, lingering in a range of things from films and comics to beer names to the unfortunately too current rise of the alt-right and, of course, the search for the ever-elusive holy grail of skincare. We're oriented towards a broad audience and welcome a range of persons into this conversation. So TSW asks what we can learn for good and for ill from the Middle Ages, and why the study of what was remains so important for what is and what can be. As a project, TSW is meant to illustrate to the public at large the significance and relevance of the medieval period, of education, and of the humanities, and it provides a resource for inquiry and instruction at a variety of levels. In today's political and cultural climate, higher education and scholarly inquiry are often met with distrust and even disdain, which is not necessarily unfounded, but is not fair to everyone involved in that situation and in those roles. So because, unfortunately, those most likely to turn to the Middle Ages for validation for bigoted viewpoints are also those who frequently dismiss all of education and research as elitist, we want to kind of stand in the gap or invite that conversation. We believe that as medievalists, we are uniquely positioned to contribute meaningfully to public conversations, offering insights that challenge misconceptions and broaden understanding. We have the opportunity to reveal the complexities of a frequently misrepresented past, highlight the vital connections between past, present, and future, and demonstrate the individual role of the humanities in critiquing, illuminating truths, and imagining new ways of being.
So, Brittany, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Well, along with what you were saying, Ariel, TSW emphasizes the importance of curiosity, education, and critical thinking. Since the public is our audience, and we often face the challenge of showing, again, as you were saying, why the work we do in academia matters, we wanted a name that is both kind of intriguing and accessible. So the definite article in the title acknowledges that frequent question we get from the public. So what? Why does what you do matter? Why is it important? Generally, we have an emphasis on Arthurian material since we are in partnership with Arthuriana, the official journal of the International Arthurian Society, North American branch. And we believe that more explicitly discussing the so what's of medieval studies and medievalisms is of great value to the field, to public discourse, and for promoting the ideas of inquiry, equity, and justice. So we welcome proposals for pieces exploring the so what of not only Arthurian material, but medieval studies and medievalisms in general, too. We're open to any kind of topic or issue you might think would be interesting to the public. So short pedagogical pieces, creative pieces, even if they don't necessarily deal with the Arthurian legend, are things that we're interested in as well. You can find information about how to submit to the So What, as well as see as all our current publications on the website, arthuriana.com/TSW. So Margaret, do you want to go back and talk about Arthuriana a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. So Arthuriana as a whole has had a transitional few years as it becomes more than a traditional academic journal and has been working on more outreach efforts such as the So What. So in 2023, the journal hosted a free and virtual publishing 101 workshop, What You Need to Know About Academic Publishing. We had about 100 people register and 75 people in attendance. And last week, we actually did a similar publishing workshop as well with very similar attendance. It was at this workshop, the journal also announced the Arthuriana Fellowship, which offered a small stipend to 2 interns to get hands-on experience within the publishing field. And both of our interns this year have been absolutely amazing and a lifesaver in many different ways. So trying to help them in their careers, but they've also been very beneficial to the journal itself. And with that application, we did receive about 25 applicants in total. We interviewed 4 candidates and then offered the internship and hoping to do the same for this year and upcoming years as well. And our main ask for that was a resume, a small paragraph explaining one's interests, their background in medieval literature or history, hoping with emphasis on Arthurian, but again, not expected or what you have to have. And then anyone who had completed their PhD exams, leaving this open not only to graduate students, but also early career folks as well, and those outside of traditional academia, such as myself even. And the only reason why we ask them to have their PhD exams completed is just so no one also feels overwhelmed with having to complete that task as well as some sort of new internship opportunity. So with these initiatives, the hope for Arthuriana is to reflect the journal's evolving role with the broader academic and now public spheres, with a particular focus on inclusivity and community engagement to make the field more expansive. And by highlighting professional development opportunities for scholars at all stages of their careers, but particularly emerging and unrepresented voices, Arthuriana seeks to foster a more equitable academic environment, which I think, as we've emphasized for this whole episode, is something that we definitely need to see happening with the current state of affairs in at least Northern America right now.
Yeah, as Margaret and Brittany both alluded to, this emphasis on expanding the amount of voices that are represented in or that have space in discourse and making academic environments more equitable is part of what the TSW is seeking to do with our project. And so that's why one of the things that we are asking people to consider when they are submitting pieces are ways that we can explore the why or so what of medieval studies and works of medievalism. Fostering a more equitable academic environment is so important because the so-called medieval period in truth describes a multilingual, multicultural, interconnected globe that is just as present to us now as it is past. Because our current understandings of strength and heroism often dress themselves in armor, because education and inquiry can often open us to multiplicities of mind and being, because the imagined Middle Ages are so often used as an authority or bludgeon for oppressive ideologies, and because creativity can liberate, we, for TSW, are really interested in pieces that do a number of things, one or more of this list. So ones that employ multidisciplinary approaches, methods, and lenses, ones that transcend spatial, temporal, and disciplinary boundaries, ones that embrace trans, queer, crip, and atemporalities, that encourage public engagement by bridging academic study, contemporary discourse, and concrete action, that connect intellectual discussion with lived and embodied experiences and concerns, and ones that advocate broadly or in a focused way for equity, inclusion, accessibility, diversity, and justice. And the origins of this project come from a ton of different avenues.
Yeah, and I know that we definitely want to spend some of our time talking about where all of us came from in regarding what the SOA means to us and kind of share how we each became interested in medieval literature, as well as answering the so what, or I think we kind of all even talk about the why not question. So Ariel, if you want to get started for us.
I guess my origin story stems from the fact that I am a nerd, yeah. And I am a weird nerd. And if you hung out with me for a day and took a shot every time I called myself weird or a nerd, you would 100% be under the table by the end of the day.
Says, take your shot.
I swear this is relevant. I swear. And it's because I don't think either of those are bad things. I absolutely love learning and I love stories and especially weird stories. I love what they've done for me. I love what they can do for others. And I have degrees in approximately 3 bajillion subjects, which is only a slight overstatement, because I keep learning and I keep wanting to know about everything. But even in all of that, in studying all of the things, I kept coming back to medieval things, partly because it's weird and because it's nerdy and also beautiful and gross and human, even in its inhumanity. It encompasses these moments of violent and horrifying dehumanization, but also somehow the idea that the divine could be a loving mother whispering all shall be well. And at the same time as all that, so many buts. Just like
trumpets.
Butt trumpets, yes. So, you know, like I said, human.
Can we talk about how you used to be an Americanist?
I did used to be an Americanist.
Apparently, everyone else knew I was a medievalist but me. But my so what moment, I guess, was in grad school when I finally figured out I was a medievalist. And it was 2016, in case that date rings any bells. And I was trying to articulate why the humanities matter, despite the fact that the entire world was on fire and it was not fine. And the idea of things with value kept being held up to me as only money. If it's not money, it doesn't have value. And I just kept coming back over and over again to stories and to curiosity and to connections, because they are more powerful than bombs. They're more valuable than dollars. They're more enduring than statues, and including, I hope, perhaps especially, the ones that are weird, and that include butt jokes.
So as I was kind of alluding to earlier myself, for me, the question of so what has also been a question of why not. I've always been interested in a history you don't always get in the textbook or other somewhat, you know, traditional means, if you will. So, for instance, when I was in elementary school, I was obsessed with the idea of female knights existing, probably due to the numerous times I had watched the 1998 film Quest for Camelot.
Yes.
It's like ingrained in my soul. And in sixth grade, we had to do a report on a historical person. And I'm pretty sure everyone else did like American presidents or individuals like that. And I, of course, did Joan of Arc because she was the closest I could get to a female knight. So I got to wear some plastic armor to school and gave this report and basically prove, see, female knights did exist. And while it wasn't the norm of that time, or, you know, even if we kind of really count her as a knight, there still was someone that I could point to. There were different perspectives that existed and challenged the status quo, and that has been a driving factor for me in many ways. There's always room for more stories, more voices, more whys that challenge the assumptions about what was possible in the past and is possible today. So over the years, that has slightly shifted as I look into both feminist history and now more queer history of the Middle Ages. So in Arthurian literature alone, you know, you, of course, have Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, ideas of queer desire with two men kissing each other. And then there's been this beautiful influx of queer readings of Silence and Roman du Silence as a trans character. Of course, in medieval culture in general, there are countless examples that show queer identities have, in fact, always existed. And what frustrates me, though, is how these histories, these truths are so often ignored, erased, or even demonized today. In the face of ongoing political and social efforts to stigmatize queer identities, many bigots and positions of power trying to frame queerness as something new, unnatural, or even dangerous, which I like to think I'm a dangerous individual running around, just living my life. But when you look at the medieval past, the evidence is right there. Queer identities were not a modern invention. They're part of a complex social reality And the fact that these histories are conveniently forgotten or distorted to fit a more narrow heteronormative narrative speaks volumes about the way power operates in shaping what we're allowed to know and understand about our past. So that's why the so what question is so important to me. As a medievalist, my purpose isn't just to study the past for its own sake, but understand how it connects to our present and future. History is never static. It informs and shapes the way we see the world today. And by examining these marginalized histories, whether feminist, queer, or otherwise, I want to challenge the mainstream narratives that have been elevated to the forefront of cultural memory. And the why not question is just as significant because it pushes me to ask, why hasn't this history been told before? What are we afraid of by acknowledging it? In answering that, I've come to understand that the omission of these histories is not accidental, but is tied to larger forces of power to seek and maintain the status quo. Ultimately, it's about breaking down the walls of historical silence, because in that silence, so many voices are lost.
So I came into my master's wanting to study Southern Gothic literature, Faulkner, Flannery, O'Connor, Eudora Welty. But my first semester, I had to take the required medieval literature course. And I'd never really read medieval literature before, didn't have that much exposure to it. But once I took that course, that was it. I was hooked. Plot starting to lag, rowing over in it. I was like, wait, there were two English civil wars? That completely blew my mind. What does dying from a surfeit of eels look like? Like, how many eels is that exactly? I want to know. I've had family Christmases where it's felt like someone might lose their head. But a green man showing up in the dining room proposing a beheading contest has never actually happened. Like, that might have made that Christmas better.
Hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened yet.
We've still got time. The way the kind of mundane and the fantastical are intertwined in medieval literature is so fascinating, and I think it's somewhat kind of unique to the period. For me, my so-what moment came when the United States and North Korea were kind of having this social media nuclear war showdown in 2017. I was trying to write my dissertation, but I kept getting distracted by the news and the latest stupid tweet. Like, why am I sitting here writing this when the entire world could end in a nuclear holocaust? What am I doing with my time? Two men who could just have gone to therapy but chose not to have decided to attempt world domination instead. What is the point of this? But I found that the best way to not think about it was to just kind of keep typing about the 12th century Normans in southern Italy and Sicily and their kind of inclusiveness, particularly in the nobility and the government. It certainly wasn't the perfect period. Not everyone was involved in this kind of inclusive government or inclusive society, but it still felt radically different than what I was seeing in my own time and felt kind of inspiring.
And we were both Americanists. Who knew?
Right?
I don't think I had an Americanist phase, for the record.
There's still time, Margaret.
You could go back.
I was going to be Renaissance, so.
Maybe this is your Chapel Roan, like, medieval crossover. That could be it. Tennessee medieval.
Now I am an Americanist.
Done.
But back to the so what and our future issues. So I'm really excited for our social media issue, which is going to come out probably late this year or early 2026. We're looking at the way these accounts, whether they're on Blue Sky or Instagram or YouTube or any other kind of social media platform, blend medieval literature and history and art with modern pop culture and references. They're so clever and they're so well done. I'm fascinated to hear others' analysis of these accounts, how they're used, what kinds of impacts they're having, and why isn't Marjorie Kemp in more memes? There need to be more Marjorie Kemp memes. So if you're interested in submitting to the social media issue or any other issue of the So What or Arthuriana, you can find us online at arthuriana.com/tsw. Email us proposals at thesowhatpub@gmail.com. You can reach out with questions. You can submit to the special issues. We have the CFPs posted on our site and they're on our social media channels as well. And use code TIERS20 to get 50% off our imaginary Make Marjorie Kemp Saint merch. One day it's going to happen.
Make Marjorie a saint.
We just wanted to thank the Multicultural Middle Ages podcast for letting us join them. And of course, thank Arthur Rihanna for its continued support. And thank you to Brittany and Margaret for joining me on the recording things.
Aw, thank you, Aria. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you for bringing us into this adventure.
You're stuck now.
This has been an episode of the Multicultural Middle Ages, an anthology-style podcast series sponsored by the Medieval Academy of America. Season 4 was produced by Will Beatty, Jonathan Correa-Reyes, Reed O'Mara, Logan Quigley, and me, Lauren Lee, with music by Anna O'Connell. For more information on the MMA podcast, follow the links in the episode description and consider subscribing to keep up with the latest episodes. Thanks for listening.